let's go into the word this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us. Upon your resurrection, our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Before you go there, go to Numbers chapter 9. Go to Numbers chapter 9. Are you there? Verse 11, quickly. Numbers chapter 9, verse 11. If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, oh, me. If you're there, say, I'm there. Numbers chapter 9, verse what? 11. Are you there? I want us to read in unison. All right? Numbers chapter 9, verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. On the 14th day of the second month, at even, they shall keep it and eat it with what? What did you eat last night?
I'm fasting.
You're fasting. You're fasting. Sister Esther was fasting. Where is the husband? What did your wife eat last night? You were fasting. My question, what did you eat in your house last night?
Fasting.
You're fasting too. Okay. You are not fasting. Pepper soup. So did you mix it with unleavened bread or something? See, your Bible says on the what? 14th day of the second month. Oh, the second month, February. What's the 14th date? Yeah. No. Yesterday was. We can look at questions afterwards, actually. Don't turn my joke to serious meeting. I'm just joking here today. Amen. Oop, you ate well yesterday. All right. All right, let me not get troublesome today. Well, where are we supposed to go to? Second Timothy. That's where we are going to originally. Amen. Second Timothy. So for those of you who didn't have unleavened bread last night, you disobeyed God's word. You disobeyed God's, you neglected God's instruction. I'm joking, no. Please, though. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And go all the way to verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Verse 15, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly what? Dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Right now, what is Paul saying to Timothy, his spiritual son? Right, he's saying that the believer ought to have an approach of studying. The word there, study, is the Greek word spodazo, and it's a word that means to be diligent. If you look through chapter 4, verse 11, Paul will say to Timothy, he says, do thy diligence. That's the same word, do thy diligence. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. And we say, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Right, that word there speaks about being very intentional, being very diligent. Are we together? Now, as believers, one of the things you must always remember is the fact that you are a student of God's word. Say, I'm a student of God's word. So it means that the believer is one who is enrolled into a school. And when do you graduate? Never. You never graduate. Are we together? Yeah. You know, in university, what happens is you go to school, you pass all the courses, and they give you a certificate. Then they say it's your graduation day. Then you see people wear all manners of things, all manners of suits, all manners of, you know, different tuxedos and the likes, right? Because you fulfilled all the righteousness in codes to be able to be awarded that certification. But you see, the Christian faith comes with a certification first before you study. So the moment you become born again, you've been given the life of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. So he gave his only begotten son. That's the certificate. The resurrection is a certificate, right? He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. You know, a lot of believers know that scripture, but they don't know the implication of that. The implication of that means that you've been sentenced to eternal life without your consent. Are we together? Right? Yeah? It means you've been sentenced into eternal life without your consent. Okay, so you gave your consent by believing. But what you believed is that God gave. But what came with that giving is the fact that you have eternal life. So every believer is one that has eternal life. Are we together? Now, eternal life does not stop at any point. Eternal life is not something, you know, on Wednesday, we're teaching on Wednesday, and we're talking about how some people teach some of the scriptures, go to extreme some of the things they teach in the scriptures. So some people, I remember a friend of mine then that was saying, Christians are not supposed to die. That Christians don't die. That can choose to live forever on the earth. He said he cannot die. He can choose to live forever in death. That anytime he just feel like he's tired of this environment, he just lie down and sleep and say, God, come and take me. Amen? He's teaching from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gives only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in shall not perish, but have ever. So you have everlasting. I have everlasting life. Say, I have everlasting life. Lasting life. Emphasis on the lasting life. You know, you know, hear them say, oh, I have Zoe, Zoe, Zoe lives in me. You know, I've taught it over time. The word Zoe is a word that is used to speak about life. And Zoe does not mean eternal life. But Zoe can be used to teach eternal life. Amen? Yeah? So when you see a believer saying, I have Zoe, obviously it's within the context of what they're talking about, the life of God. But an unbeliever as well can say, I have Zoe. Amen? That's a troublesome teaching, I know. Right, so Zoe can be used to teach about the love. It's just like what you say, agape. You know what they call agape? Is that the love they say God has for you? Yeah, so the love God has for you is agape love, right? Yeah, agape is a root word that can be used to teach about the love God has for you, but agape in itself does not speak about the love of God. Are we together? Right? Zoe does not speak about the life of God. If you look through John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's why believers shall not perish but have. He didn't say life. He said what? Everlasting life. The word everlasting, there has to do with ion, whatever you pronounce, yeah? But there's a word for it before the Zoe. Are we together, right? So I have eternal life. So even if I say I have Zoe, right, I must understand that I'm speaking within the confines of the life of God. And if somebody tells me as well that they are unbelievers, but they have Zoe, I don't need to fight with them because they are saying the truth. You know what I'm trying to say? Right? So you see some people talk about how I have Zoe, the life of God. The life of God lives in me. He lives in me, right? There's the supernatural life, Zoe. No. Okay, yes, supernatural life is what qualifies the Zoe to be the life of God. Once you put supernatural life before the life, you know what I'm trying to say, right? Is what in Bible theology qualifies that. So you see those kind of people saying, no, I have Zoe, I can choose to live on earth here. Yeah. And I ask him a question. I said, brother, come, let me ask you a simple question. You know the person that taught you is no longer alive. We're not fighting, no. We're not fighting, right? But the person, I know the person that taught him, so I know the person is still alive, right? You know that kind of thing, when somebody wants to just fight with you, just be, let me not say what I have to say, right? Yeah? But the person that taught the person that is teaching you is no longer alive. And it's not as if he lived to 150. I'm together, right? The life that God gives to us is the life that sustains our life after this life. Altogether, I was preaching to someone yesterday, what's his name again? Harry, I think, right? And I was asking him a very simple question. I said, do you believe in the afterlife? He said, yes. I said, how do you think you'll be a part of the afterlife? He said, yes, if he tries to do good. I tried to probe until he changed the answer to if he tried to do good. And I started saying, it's not when you try to do good, it's when you try to have good intention. I said, I've got you. And I said, I don't know people who have good intention, that their actions publicly is evil. That's when he started thinking. You know, I could see all the question marks in his head, on his forehead. Oh, yeah. Then I said to him, I said, the only thing that will make you have an assurance of the life after this life is the life of God that you receive when you believe the gospel. And that life is such a life that is in you to sustain your life after this life. Hope the lives are not too plenty. I've used plenty lives now. Yeah. The life in you is everlasting life. That life sustains your life after this life. So it means that when a man stops breathing, right, what do you say? You say breath is out. But there's a breath within that will bring such back to life. That's the confidence the believer has. Confidence the believer has is the fact that God lives in you forever. You know, you ask people, I see people ask very interesting questions trying to form atheism. You know, I always tell you there are different classes of atheists. There are those from where I come from that it is because there's no light, they are atheists. Eh? Because they took light to you, I say, where is God? Eh? Because Sometimes you see some people and the way they used to argue, you'll be wondering, yeah, if God is there, why did he allow this? You know, one of the popular questions is, why do good things happen to what? Okay. But they don't always ask the other part. Good things happen to bad people. Why? Yeah? Why do bad things happen to good people? Yeah? This life. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. And they'll say, are you trying to tell me that if a believer cremates himself, you know what how can a believer cremate himself? Sorry. If a believer is, you know what cremation is, right? If a believer is cremated, are you trying to tell me that they will still come back to life and live? You can tell me nonsense. What is cremation? Cremation is when you put a human being into hot furnace and the human being turns to ashes. Then you can take that ashes in a bowl and go and keep it where? Some of them put it in their living room, in their parlor, anywhere they want to put it. Simple question. Don't you even understand that is enough for God to use to bring a man back to life? Considering that God had nothing to bring a man into life. Did you hear that? Right? God brought human existence into life without ashes. All right? So it wouldn't be difficult to bring ashes back to life. You see, and that's why it's called faith. You don't have to have the answer for everything. The moment you have the answer for everything, it's no longer faith. Do you know what I'm trying to say? The moment you have the answer for everything, it's no longer faith. Right? And that's why, whilst Christianity entails that you're logical, that means you reason things, you must know that there's a boundary to your reasoning. There are questions that we will not have answers. That's fundamental. There are questions we will not have answer to, but there are questions we have answers to. Altogether. That's why some people always tell you, the quest for knowledge, if you're not careful, can chase you farther away from God. This is the Bible. How many books are in this Bible? 66 books. Do you know some people have not finished reading this Bible? But they are reading the book of Enoch. You didn't finish reading people like to look for things that are not lost. You didn't finish reading Genesis to Revelation. You are reading the book of Judah. Like, okay, what do you want to learn there? There's one they called the book of Jashum stuff. There's a popular one that is Jashum or something like that. Yeah? We're looking for I just skipped the name right now. We're in the book of Enoch. I want to see, when you read the book of Enoch, you see the sons of men sleeping with the daughters of men. Okay, have you finished reading Genesis? You know that if they put Enoch inside this Bible, we'll not still read it. If the one that is lost, that is sweeter. You understand? If they put Enoch inside this Bible and the book of Judas, we won't still read it. It's the moment we realize they've closed the Bible. They now ask, have you finished writing everything you want to write? Okay, drop it down. Let me go and look for. Right? You see, in between Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, we have it's called gap theory. Yeah? And they are canons. See, if you stay with this, there's a reason why we stay with this. Right? This is sufficient for you to know all you need to know. This is not sufficient. Listen to me carefully. This is not sufficient to know all you want to know. Do you get that? This is not sufficient to know all you want to know. But it's sufficient to know all you need to know. You get it? There's a difference. It is not sufficient to know all you want to know. But it's sufficient to know all you need to know. And what matters is not all you want to know. It is all you need to know. So in the Bible says, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that gives only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It means that you are rest assured that you are God's prized possession. See, there is no time that God will refer to you as his ex-child. And we're together. You know, these are the things that we teach sometimes, and you hear some people trying to say, we are trying to give people license to sin. Don't you understand that people don't need license to sin? Are we here? You don't need license to sin. Wait, hold on. When you were growing up, how many of you lied when you were growing up? Lift your hand. You are a new creature, and you're not to the past. How many of you lied when you were growing up? Yeah? How many of you stole when you were growing up? Hold on. I'm talking inclusive of meat in the pot. Meat in the pot. You see, believers know how to separate stealing. When I ask how many of you stole, you are thinking, I was not in the government. I couldn't have stolen. Right? But you forgot that, okay. I mean, you know, if you took the eraser, the sharpener of your classmates, you stole. Okay, the number of hands should increase right now. Yeah, increase. Yeah. How many of you stole when you were younger? Yeah? Your sins are, they are behind, they are in the past. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, you cannot remember your sins. Nice one. You are new, your brain is free. All things are passed away. Well done. You see all those kind of people? Those are people you run away from. Because when they do nonsense and terrible things to you, they will just say, did I offend you last year? I can't remember. Right? So, we were growing up. I'm trying to say, nobody gave us the permission to lie. Your parents never called you and said, today, I hand over to you to the license. You have the license to lie when you want to lie. Are we together? Do you know, some of our parents knew. You know, if you grew up in the kind of house I grew up in, you can't afford to bring a sharpener or pencil that was not yours. And your parents know what they bought for you. Are we together? Yeah? And if you bring it back home, they're not going to tell you to return it back tomorrow. You will first be dealt with. So that next time, even if you take it and you want to hide it from your parents, you will just remember that they can catch you. Not together. But before you took it, nobody gave you permission to take it. So man does not need a license before the what? Sin. So a message of God's love cannot be what enables people to sin. So if you hear somebody beginning to live a very wayward life because they heard the message of God's grace, they did not either hear it well or they were not preached too well. You hear what I just said? It's either they did not hear well or they were not preached too well. Altogether, right? So scripture will say, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we're looking at the believer's identity, right? And one of the things you must always remember is the fact that your identity would influence your actions. Yeah? Your identity would influence your actions. So what you do and what you don't do will be influenced by how you see yourself. Altogether, right? You know, and we're going to look at redemption in the next few minutes before we go this morning. Redemption. What is redemption? Redemption is simply the price paid. The price paid to release something or to release someone. I'll say one more time. Redemption is the price paid to release. Or you can say it differently. The price paid in exchange of. The price paid in what? In exchange of. How it's together, right? So the truth is that the price of a value or the price of a material determines the value. All together. You know, there are some gifts that people give to you and you will treat lightly or lightly until you find out how much that gift costs. Is that correct? Yeah? There are certain things. Someone can give you a phone and you don't know that phone is worth a few £1,000. Obviously, when it talks about phone, you know, it's very easy for you to know a phone that is expensive. So if they give you, you will know. But there's some things that you will not always... The easiest one I can use as an example is a wristwatch. There are wristwatches that you cannot know. I would together. The cost, right? You know, I always give this example, right? A family had given my dad two wristwatches as a gift. And when I got my... So my dad gave me one of the watches, right? And he started wearing it casually. It looked fine. It looked beautiful. I started wearing it casually, right? Until the day I stepped somewhere and someone looked at my hands and said, do you know what you are wearing? Right? And from that day, that was when, so the person now searched for it, saw the price, and we saw the price, and I'm like, what? You know, the next time I wore that watch after that day was on my wedding day. Since I wore it on my wedding day 5 years ago, the next time I've worn it is maybe this year. I will wear it. I've not worn it yet. I've just put it back inside the casing. I kept it inside my wardrobe, just hid it in one corner. You see the casing, right? What changed? An understanding of the value of the watch. That's how the believer's conduct changes, when you pay more attention to an understanding of your value. The watch did not increase in value. We're together. Yeah? I'm keeping that watch right now so that one time when I just need one very urgent money, yeah, I'll just go and sell it and what? Use it. What changed? The value did not... So, when you come to church and you are taught about your value, who you are or who you were does not change. What changed is your understanding of who you are. What changed is your understanding of who you are, what you have, not what you have changed. No, it didn't change. So if I tell you you are born again, you are righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if you listen to me teach maybe in a Sunday service and you now begin to see yourself in a better light, you didn't become more righteous. I only opened up your mind to see the value of what you have, of who you are. And that's how the Christian faith works. And together, that's how it works, right? You know, if you went to buy a car, right? Yeah, imagine you went to buy a Bentley. How many of you know what Bentley? Right? You know a Bentley, right? Imagine you went to buy a Bentley. I used to catch your attention. I caught it. Look at him. As long as I just said Bentley, just to talk. And I caught his attention. Right? You know a Bentley. How much do you think a Bentley can go for? An average Bentley, probably £150,000. I don't know. Probably £200,000, £150,000. Not second-hand, new one. All right? Thereabouts. £200,000. You know a Corolla? Yeah? Corolla CE 2027 model. Right? Yeah? I used it, so I understand the value. You know, if those two cars have an accident, you know, do you know, if you're driving a Toyota Corolla and you hit a Bentley, you know, see, don't argue. Don't argue. First of all, just prostrate, even if you're not Yoruba boy, just prostrate flat, right? And just say, please forgive my lineage. Not forgive me. Forgive my lineage. Because if they sell the old car that you use, it will not buy the side mirror of the car. Maybe? So what do? You say, please, I beg you, take the car. Take the problem. In fact, I wanted to even give the car as a gift. I wanted to even sell the car. Just take the car. But you know, the owner of a Bentley knows that that car is not anywhere close to what he will use to repair his bumper that he removed. All together. That kind of thing, if they say you should pay it in installments, you'll be paying £1,000 every month for probably 5 years before you can be able to do repairs. What's different between both cars? I didn't know both cars, but the value. Let me also tell you something. The reason why you begin to behave that way, forgive my lineage, forgive my family, is because you also know the value of that. Now, imagine the owner of the Bentley does not know the value of the car because it was a gift to him. Listen, watch what you happen. No, I'm not going to give somebody an example. I'm going to use somebody as an example, but I won't mention their name. But you will know yourself when I mention you. Something that happened to a car that they were not, you know, they were not really setting how things work. And the thing happened to the car. And the person that did something to the car, they forgave the person. Everybody look at me. Don't look at anybody. Just look at me. Jesus is glorified. When they now took the car to go and find out the cost, it means what they want to search online. That kind of question you ask Google. How can I find the person that hit my car 5 days ago? You ask Microsoft Copilot. Is there a way you can trace? So if you gave a Bentley to a person, right, and somebody hits the car and it comes down, obviously it's a gift. He cannot even afford it. And he says, no, don't worry, don't worry. My, what do you call them of those? My mechanics, right? My mechanics will deal with you, don't worry. He doesn't have money to repair it, too. Don't worry, my mechanic will deal with you, don't worry, don't worry. Don't worry, it's fine. You've prostrated already, I forgive you. My pastor taught me last week to forgive. Why did he behave that way? It does not have an understanding of the value of what he has. That's how believers work. How together? Now, whilst I'm using material things to explain to you, I hope you know that you ought not to give an understanding of your identity based on material things that you have. I'm saying to you, some people will drive those kind of cars, and the moment they have those kind of cars, their shoulders are up. right? Their shoulders are up. They are very pompous. No. You know. Yeah. But the fact remains that the believer does not have an understanding of who they are based on what they have materially. You don't have an understanding of who you are based on what you have materially. All together, right? You must have an understanding of who you are based on what Jesus has done. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. First Timothy 5. He says, for there is one God and one mediator between what? God and man. The man who? Christ Jesus. Let's read verse 6 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Who gave himself a ransom for all to testify in due time. He gave himself a ransom for all. So the price that was paid for you was not money. Was not silver, was not gold, was not effort. It was what? God himself. That is Jesus himself. Can we say the blood of Jesus? Can we say the blood of Jesus? Yeah? So the blood of Jesus is what gave, is what was used to purchase him. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. You know, a lot of us as Christians, we use the blood of Jesus for different things. How many of you know this song? I drink the blood of Jesus. I drink the blood of Jesus. I drink, and I'm gonna, if you grew up in an environment where you drink the blood, you see that, oh, I swallow the liquid fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. Right? Yeah. You will behave with the knowledge you have. Now, the blood of Jesus has nothing to do with the liquid, are we together, that flows out of the skin. Are we together? Yeah? Blood in the Bible language, you know, we started from 2 Timothy chapter 2, study to show thyself as approved unto God. Blood in Bible language, in Book of Numbers, will show you, Leviticus actually, right, that the life of a flesh is where? Is in the blood. So when I see blood, what do I see? Life. Are we together? Right? So the blood of Jesus was paid for your ransom. Now, some of us used to think this way. We believe that Jesus died on the cross, then he poured his blood into a basin. Is that correct? Then he took the basin to God. He took it to the holies of holies and gave it to God. I said, God, you see my blood? Drink it. And every time that God wants to ask the angel to send the trumpet to blow, what will God do? God will say, Angel Raphael or Razak, Angel Razak, would you blow the trumpet? I don't want the evil in the hearts of human beings is terrible. I want to finish the entire world and start afresh. Then Jesus will now go and kneel down. God now. Have you forgotten my blood in the basin? God now. Why? For you to, God, walk in love. God, walk in love. God, forgive now. Forgive, forgive. Then God will now say, not because of this, your blood that speaks better than the blood of Abel. That's there. You know, it sounds funny, but that's how people think about the Christian faith. People think that the blood of Jesus was to God, but it's very troublesome. If the blood of Jesus was to God, it means that God is no different than a man who needs to be appeased. Are we together? If it is the blood of Jesus that made God change his mind, then it means that God is not different than, from where I come from, there's something that is called Shango. Emphasis on the go. Shango. Yeah? Not Shangota. Shango. Shango. Yeah? Amadioha. Right? And those are beings that people sacrifice their blood to appease. It's different between Amadioha and God. If both God and Amadioha needs blood. What's the difference? God is just the invisible. What's the difference? So the blood of Jesus was not God. The blood of Jesus was to the conscience and the heart of a man. So who needed blood? You. Where was the blood needed? Your heart, in your conscience. So when we see the blood, the goal of the blood is to make our conscience, our heart, turn. So what is blood speaking about? The life of God. So Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all. He didn't give himself as a ransom to God. He gave himself as a ransom for us. Are you following this morning? Right? So the believer is one who actually has received of the life of God. Say, I have the life of God. Look at Matthew 26, verse 28. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 28. It says, for this is my blood of the New Testament. This is Jesus talking. All together. Which is what? Shared for many for the what? Remission of sins. Quick one. In that scripture, you know, I hope you know what's happening there. That's what you call the what? The communion table, the supper, last supper. Is that correct? Do you, if you read the Bible, do you have a record of Jesus taking a syringe to take his blood out of his body? No, he didn't do that. But what did Jesus say? This is my... Look at it. Look at verse 27. And he took the cup and he gave thanks. What was inside the cup? Wine. All together. Wine was inside the cup. What did he call the wine? My blood. Was that his blood? So where should your mind be? On the bottle of wine or what he's saying? What he's saying? So he picks a cup full of wine, fruit wine, and he says, this is my blood. Emphasis. Right? This is my blood. Broken. What? Which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So what is the blood for? Remission of, who said it? Who is a better person to teach us what the blood of Jesus is for? Nobody can teach us better than Jesus now. If Jesus tells you his blood is for remission of sin, leave it there. So his blood is not for road that is not tarred. Amen. His blood is not for what? Road that is not tarred. His blood is not for doorposts. Are we together? His blood is not for on your bed. I heard someone talking about how anytime they go to a hotel room, right? The first thing they do is to sanctify the room and they pour anointing oil everywhere. Beautiful, lovely, right? His blood is not anointing oil. Are we together?
Yes.
His blood. So what was it typifying in that cup? His blood. What was it typifying? His life. His life. Say his life. So the life of God, the life of Jesus, was what was in the cup. And he said, this is shed for many for the remission of sins. He now says, but I say unto you, 29, I will drink henceforth, not henceforth of this fruit, of the vine, until that day when I drink it new with you, where? In my Father's what? Kingdom. So the blood in the real sense was not decoration. It was symbolic. It was to point their attention to something else. So the blood of Jesus is something the believer has drunk. Amen? Yeah? If you like drinking. The blood of Jesus is that which the believer already drank. Are we together? So I have drank of the blood of Jesus by believing in Jesus. It means I'm saved. It means I've been redeemed. Praise God forevermore. So what is the cost? What did it cost Jesus to get me? I love that answer. That was fast, right? First of all, what did it cost Jesus to get to me? The first, you must say something first. Yeah, no. His blood. What is his blood? His life. So Jesus gave his life for me. So what you want to know your worth, what do you think about? His life. Yeah? How do you know the worth of this bag? How much did I pay for the bag? Are we together? Right? Yeah? There's a way this bag will be expensive that I will not allow anybody to sit around here. Have you? But you know, everybody just touch it, everybody just slap it. That's the value. Are we together? Yeah? There's a way that no matter where I face in this church, my eye will be here. I cannot even turn like this. I will be like this. Are we together? Right? So, it is the way you have an understanding of the value of a property that makes you guard the property. So, the value of the property helps your behavior. So, what should help your behavior as a believer? The value of who you are. So, when you see somebody misbehaving, what do they lack? An understanding of who they are. It's an understanding of who they are that they lack. All together. So, the blood of Jesus is that which was shed for me. Look at Romans 3, verse 23. Romans 3, verse 23. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the what? The glory of God. Look at verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is where? In Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be what? A propitiation through faith in... Are we there? Romans 3:25. Let's read together verse 25. 1, 2, 3, go. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the what? Remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Altogether. So, you are justified freely. Right? That, listen to me carefully. That, this is where the problem is. That it is free does not mean it is cheap. Amen. That it is free does not mean it is cheap. Do you know what I just said? That somebody gave me a watch free does not mean the watch is cheap. You know, sometimes we rate the gifts people give us based on how we know we give people gifts. Yeah? If somebody buys you a hacker shirt, for instance, because of how you rate the person and how you rate yourself, you can think you are not deserving of that shirt, so it means he bought you fake. Are we here? Who has the problem? It's you. It is you. Someone buys you Hugo Boss. Hugo Boss. Hugo Boss makes it sound so... Okay. Okay. Somebody buys you Hugo Boss. And you think it's Hugo Boss. You think it's Hugo Boss. Hugo Chuku Boss. You know that guy Hugo Boss without the H? Right? Because you know that thing is expensive, you know you will not be able to give somebody as a gift. You automatically assume this has to be the fake. People think that way. People work that way. Are we together? Some of you have definite examples, right? You are laughing. I can see it all on your faces. Yeah? I'm trying to communicate. Do you know that the fact it is free does not mean it is cheap? Don't just assume that that which is free is cheap. So Jesus gave his life for you freely. You think it's cheap. That's why not many even Christians can explain what it took Jesus from the cross to the grave. Even before the cross. Are we together? That is what Jesus went through for your sake. Now, it now makes sense to you why Jesus went through those cross and those scenarios. You know why? Because the mind of man will always think because it's free, it is cheap. I just said something very deep. That means there's every possibility that, so if Jesus did not go through that sacrifice, people will ideally think that it is free, it is cheap. It didn't cost him anything. So him going through the cross and the sacrifice is to show to your mind that it cost him a lot. Yet he gave you free. Are you with me today? So he has given you free, but it cost him a lot. See, God, in the infinite mercies of his life, he took on human flesh. That in itself is suffering enough. Do you know that Jesus did not need to die for your sins to be forgiven? Because it's not when Jesus died, God forgave you. The death of Jesus was to prove to you that God is loving enough. So he went out of his way to wrap himself in the womb of a woman. Are we together? That in itself is suffering. See, you are caging the entirety of divinity in humanity. It's suffering. It's suffering. You are caging the entirety, the one who made the heavens and the earth, the entirety of this world, the one who created the universe, wrapped himself in the womb of a woman and stayed in the womb of a woman for 9 months and was brought into life through pain and grew up just to show you he loves you. So where do you pay attention to? A lot of us, we just like the resurrection. But you forget that before the resurrection, there was a death. Death in itself is painful. So the divine God who created the heavens and the earth wrapped himself in the grave for 3 days. That is pain on steroids. All together. And in all of that, he said, I will rise on the third day. And the third day he rose again. And you think he's free? No. Forget what it cost him before he got to the resurrection morning. It cost him his life. All together. It cost him his life. So you are worth his life. Are we together? You are worth his life. Praise God forevermore. So the entire process cost him everything, but he gave it to you for free. Why am I talking to you this way? Don't, because things are given to you free, think it's not expensive. Free does not equal cheap. Do you get that? Yeah? Free is not equal to cheap. If you want a Bentley as a car, you know people win, there's this raffle draw people do to win cars or houses. Yeah? There's some 3-4 brothers like that who come together and do raffle draw for people, and they give people houses to win that are worth millions, sometimes millions of pounds. All you did was to what? Write your name, pay £50, enroll. That's all you did. What did that give you? A house. Is the house free for you? What is the worth of the house to you? £50. Eh? That's from your pocket, £50. When you look at logical explanation and you put literally rate it, what is the worth of that house, of that car? It's free. You know, somebody had given my dad a car, right? And the car was, you know, quite a new car at the time, right? And he gave my dad that car, how much? 15 naira, 50. For those of us who are international, right? Let me try and put it for you in context. The least pen, the least coin, eh? If that money, if I give you the least UK coin, you will give me change. Is it making sense? What's the least coin? 1p. Yeah? If I give you the least 1p, you will still give me change. Right? Was that car given to my dad free? Did the car cost the owner something?
Yes.
So how is my dad expected to treat it? Not on account of how freely he received it, but on account of the worth of the car. Imagine the owner starts to allow he now catch my dad using the car to be doing, you know what they call, Kabu Kabu, sorry, this international audience. Sorry. It's called. No, there's this one, Lyft. Is that not what they call Lyft? Lyft in America. Yes, Lyft now. The one that you call somebody, they will stop in front of you, you join 3 people in the car already. Fried share. And that's what we call it. Where I come from, it's called Along. There's some people call it Kabu Kabu. All together. Imagine the owner that gave me the car saw my dad using the car as Kabu Kabu. My dad gave somebody a car. We saw the brother using the car as Kabu Kabu. All together. What is doing that brother? It's a mind issue. All together. That it is free does not mean it is cheap. Praise God. That it is free does not mean it is cheap. So we've been justified freely, but it wasn't cheap. So redemption is, another word for redemption is substitution. All together. He took your place, so you take his place. All together. He stood where you should have stood. Praise God forevermore. Imagine you had a legal debt you needed to pay in the court and someone pays it on your behalf. You know, there's something called the law of double jeopardy. Double jeopardy. You know what that means? It means one who has been sorted out with a payment on an ideology or on a person cannot, that ideology or person cannot require a second payment for it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So it means you cannot pay twice for a crime. So somebody cannot go and steal. And he goes and serves a jail term of 5 years. And within that 5 years, they say the husband that was at home must go for the 5 years again. That's the problem. Right? If a judge comes into a court and he says, somebody paid, let's say you stole something, and they said, what you need to use to bail yourself out, for instance, is £100 million. And someone gave £100 million for you. You know, you stole something. When you walk into the court, what does the judge ask you? He doesn't ask you, have you changed? He doesn't ask you, have you stopped stealing? What does he say to you? Are you guilty? Come together. Has the payment been made? If it has been made, what can the judge do again? Discharge and everybody go. You see, that was what Jesus did for your sake. He stood in your place and the judgment of sin and death was poured on him. And he went through it. You cannot go back to where he stood, where he represented you. Did you get that? The judge will sit and say, next, come. And you, who was dying in sin and death, you just see someone stand up. Jesus, he says, hold on. And he walks into the dock. And we're together. And what happens? The judge says, listen, no. The judge says, are you guilty? What would Jesus say? I'm not guilty, but I'm here to represent him. You get that? Are you guilty? No, but I'm here to represent her. All right? So the judge says, since you are here to represent him or her, it means that I sentence you to sufferings, whereby you carry your cross from this court to Calvary. Who was saying Golgotha in that question that they asked last week? Golgotha. Sister Golgotha. Yeah? What is the answer? Sister Golgotha. What is the answer? What is the answer? We'll change this topic now. What is the answer? Okay. Nice one. Right? So, Jesus will go all the way and he will get to the cross. And what happens? He will die. And that's the instruction the judge gave to Jesus. What happens? Jesus dies. Jesus resurrects and he comes back to the same court. Imagine Jesus coming back to the same court and now seeing you in the same dock. What is that? It doesn't make any sense. Are we together? So he has paid for you. What do? You receive. Imagine Jesus went through all that 3 days program and you say, because I love Jesus so much. I love him so much. Yeah. When he's dying and in those 3 days, me too, I'm going to kill myself and I'm going to rest up with you on the third day. Who is in trouble? You are in trouble. All together. You are in trouble. Praise God forevermore. So the debt is cleared because the price has been paid. Say the price has been paid. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians chapter 7 and go all the way to verse 23. Ye are bought with a, are we here? Ye are bought with a what? With a price. Be not ye the servant of men. Go together. So you've been bought with a price. What's the price? The blood? Can we say the life of God? Was it partial? Okay. So if you go to a showroom and they say a car worth £100,000 and you pay £100,000, what are they expected to give you? The car. Do you have partial ownership? No. What do you have? Full ownership. So what do they do to you? They transfer. Are we together? So when Jesus paid the price, are we together, and tackled sin and death, what happened? You transferred. Bible says you've been transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light, of his dear son. Are we together? So you've been taken from darkness and you've been, so is that full ownership? So who owns you? Who owns you? Did he own you by just wishing to have you? He paid the price. Now let me tell you where believers struggle with. Because believers were once in the world and the category and the WhatsApp group and the estate of darkness. Their mind, though they have now come to the kingdom of light, they still behave like darkness. Amen. Are we all here? Have we gone home? We are still here. Are we together? You know, there's a way you live your life, and the things that you are going through will become imprinted in your heart such that when you even change your location, you still start acting that way. Are we together? You know, I remember I had a friend when I came, you know, for school one of the time. So he came from one of those African countries as well. So went to the bus stop and the bus was passing. And he stood on the road and started doing like this. No, he was trying to say the bus should wait for him. What happened? He has left where he was, but he's still behaving like where he was. He's still what? Behaving like where he was. What changed is location. What did not change is mindset. So you see why it's not difficult for you to see believers behaving like darkness. You think I will say that? Eh? Yeah. You say, no. I just want to behave anyhow. You know. The problem is not with who you have become. It is with the understanding of who you are, where you are, whose you are. I told you they did a statistic a practice. And they tied an elephant to a tree on the leg. Let's assume 5, 6, 7 years. That elephant, you know, if you tie my leg to this thing, right? No matter what happens to me, no matter how far I want to go, I cannot go beyond the circumference of that rope. Are you following me today? I cannot go beyond the what? Circumference of the rope, right? So imagine they tied an elephant for 5 years, 10 years. They always brought food to the elephant. The elephant will ease himself or herself there. Elephant will do everything there and sleep there. One day they came and they cut the rope. Guess what? The elephant could not move further. You know why? Because the rope has left his leg to his mind. So what happens? You now see the elephant behaving as if he's still in bondage. Why? Because bondage, when you experience bondage, it becomes a personality you begin to own and take. It's like Paul knew what he was saying when he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When does renewal stop? Never, because it's continuous. Why is it that way? Because a chain that has locked you down for 10 years might take 100 years to unlearn it. I was together. One day I was driving someone in my car, a very senior person, right? And I was driving the person, and it was in Nigeria, and the traffic was telling me red, but it was in the evening. And he just tapped me. He said, just go. Unfortunately, another car was running, with speed. Another car was running with speed on this side. Look at me. I'm driving on my car seat. The person was sitting down here. The car was coming to come and hit him. He started running towards me. He started holding me towards me that I was driving. In my mind, and I say, but you say I should go. You know, traffic lights, they say, where I come from, is for the mumus. Traffic light is for the traffic warder.
Right.
He's not for the people that have sense. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? You now come to a place like this. You even saw police park there. You saw red. You fire. What is an operation? See, let me tell you. Your OS has been changed, but you are still bugging. There's still, you know, sometimes when an OS is released, it comes with bugs. 1 week after, they will say updated version. You need to update. Now, your OS has been changed, though. Because resurrection reality shows that your OS has been changed. It is new. But you are still behaving like your former OS. What is that? You're behaving like your former OS. You know, where I come from, if you join Q. You know, it took me a time to learn it. I'm not going to deserve this. But it took me a time. Every time I see Q is not for me. Are we together? No. Because I always know people. Right? So all I need to do is, because I know people, this is long queue, maybe 50 people on the queue. I can tell you for free, maybe two, for example, maybe in school when we're doing our clearance. Out of 50, I'm very certain 30 know me. I'm very certain I know 30 and can talk to 30, and 40 know me. So what do I do? I start, brother, how are you doing now? Before you know, Before you know it, me that was number 51, I've now become number 4. And I'll be talking until I don't know what is happening. And I'm watching the next person go. When they say next, I'll say, next, I'll now run and enter. Yeah? He said, God, that one sense. Yeah? Imagine you now come here, you now see Q. Do you know sometimes when you're even driving, sometimes there are two lanes to get into an exit. But ideally, based on road instruction, you should be on this lane if you want to exit. Right? What do? You enter this lane, you run. They took your mask in the front. Right? The way you put the mask in the front, you now start the double indicator. You know, double indicator, you say, because you know they cannot come and beat you. Well, see, that is an the people that are on the queue, they are not stupid. But what are you doing? We are bringing bug. If they say they don't want to give you visa now, you'll be angry.
Have you?
If they say they don't want to give you visa now, you say, no, the earth is the Lord, the earth is the Lord. Are we together? Right? What am I teaching you? I'm trying to tell you the importance of your mind. That is why you don't overjudge yourself. Sometimes you hear some people do some things, you begin to say, no, if it's me, I know what to do. Let he that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Don't try to explain the pain of a shoe and that person has not, that you've not worn. No. If it was me, I don't take out. More often than not, it's just your mind that needs to be renewed. So have you been redeemed? Yes. Do you need to renew your mind? Yes. How frequently? No. Every time. Every day is too long. Amen. Every 24 hours is too long to do another renewal. Sometimes you go online. You see, that's why you can't use the money you bought, the money you used to buy your phone, to get yourself into trouble. I want you somebody that's always talking nonsense, always posting nakedness, always posting when they're in this thing. Don't be analyzing it too much. Just use the right buttons. I don't say anything you should use as a button. Just any button you follow, you use rather. Just ensure, because there's some things you see. You know, I said it a few weeks ago. History shows that the amount of information that a person has in 2026 in one day is more than the information that a man would have had throughout his lifetime 100 years ago. So if Paul was writing in his generation, do not be conformed to this world, but transform by the renewal of your mind. How frequent should you renew your own mind? You can't wait for once a day. We're together. You can't wait for once a day. Yeah? If you're somebody that likes to listen to nonsense song, or your playlist, if Pastor mistakenly enter your car now and your Bluetooth just connects. Yeah? You just say, oh yeah, shake, oh yeah, shake body. So is the radio. No, it's Bluetooth. It's Bluetooth. It's the Bluetooth connection. Sorry, ma. Sorry, sir. I saw it. It's Bluetooth. Say, no, Pastor, it's just to. I just come back from work. I want to wind down. I just want to wind down. Yeah? Some of you, you cannot post your Spotify end of the year. You cannot post your Spotify end of the year picture. Yeah, some of you can post Spotify, you cannot post Apple Music. Because we want to listen to Joe Boy, Joe John, John Gwen. You go to Apple Music. When you want to listen to gospel, I'll be shouting in the car. Shouting in the car, you go to Spotify. You now wait to the end of the year, and I say, my top most listening to album in the gospel, yay. Do Apple Music, let's see. You cannot live in this generation that way. You can't live that way. After you finish with Joe Boy in the car, you come to the house. You watch Netflix. Right? You watch Netflix, and it's Netflix that takes you into the realm of sleeping. You sleep off on Netflix. After I say, Pastor, they chased me in my dream. Ooh, I don't understand. What should have happened again? What should have happened in the dream? You chased 10,000. Understand? I'm telling you these things. It sounds funny, but you must ensure you are. Don't laugh with us and go back to the car. After I finish preaching, say I'm sweating. I have to remove this suit. Say I'm sweating. You still go back to the car. Eh? Give one of those songs now. That's Sister Martha's song. Please tell me Sister Martha's song. Let's know. Sister Martha, after you say you want to serve Jesus. What is your own song, ma? Let's see. When they say, who's your top most listening to? Say, Asake. Some of you are not even ashamed. Asake will come into your city. You will travel 10 hours trip to go and attend concert. He will remove his singlet. You'll be diving to drop. I say, look at who Jesus died for. Imagine your pastor follow you to that meeting. He said, look at who Jesus died for. You say, God, you wasted your blood though. Some of you will drive from here to Whiskey Court. You go to Belgium. Belgium, you the money you use, you go and feed yourself with the world. It's not enough you listen to it. And you know, that kind of show, if you know, sometimes you go to a party, sometimes how you behave, don't allow the song they are playing to let you lose guard. And you go to a party, all the song the DJ play, you know it. All. You know all the old lyrics of every song. Beginning is not social media. This one is you went to go and learn it. It's not social media. Right? DJ just chase up. Jump up. You dance, you let go. Before you know it, you turn. Before you know it, you just say like that. And you do it on Saturday night. Sunday morning, you come. You are iron lifted. He is lifted. It's after all, you are serving. After all, you don't do one side. You know, Pastor, we have to be balanced in this world. You know, a little year will not make you that little. It takes you. You know, you can give yourself to flesh for 5 minutes. It will take you 5 years to undo it. It will take you 5 years. Some of us will find ourselves in the club. You will still be speaking in tongues of around the As soon as DJ change, you two will change from tongues. Right? And in the real sense, you now say, no. I don't want them to feel like I'm not up to speed. No, you are losing it. Are we together? Have you not found out that? Let me ask you a question. Do you know the majority of the people, a lot of people who go to all these shows and concerts, a lot of them are Christians? In my life of living on earth, I know very few Muslims who go for those kind of things. But I usually have most of my friends, my associates, going there. And you post believer identity flyer first. The next one after believer, you say is Europe tour at the B. Europe tour, life in concert. Okay, used to design those flyers. Life in concert. Life in concert. Runner. Odogu Black. I was in mother that guy. You know, there's even this guy. Okay, Odogu Black, sorry, Odumodu Black. You know, it was a man that corrected me when I was teaching one day, a few weeks ago. I mentioned one guy, Anderson Ocean. I did not know. My wife called me and said, it's not Anderson Ocean, it's an endless ocean. I have to now go back and look at the name. They didn't know it's too. It's Anderson Ocean. And now she said, oh, an end is a statement, an endless ocean. Buckle life atom. You match that one. When you put it on your own playlist, after you leave that one, you now finish with, you say, this week is for fella. Next week is for, Rastafari. Mr. Ferrer, Bob Marley. Somebody wants them done. Tongues. Yeah? Yeah, I mean? You say, where are my Jamaican brothers? You know, that's the thing. I've noticed a lot of our praise singers, that's what they listen to before they come and lead song in church. Eh? Where you see them say, where are my dancers? Where are my praisers? That's Brona Boy's activity. But you just sing joy. In fact, some people now, they started changing the lyrics of song. Adding Jesus. Once in somebody say, somebody's song will find me one day. Started crying, says Jesus. Hope you are instructed. If this one touch you, what do you do? Don't shave it up. You own up to it. Are we together? Look at someone around you and talk about the things you've learned today.